again. I'm going to skip the middle of this message and I may go back and preach it at the end, but I feel like we need the ending of it. And all God's people said amen. The end of a message. First Kings chapter 17, and I am going to take the time and read the scripture because I think it's way more powerful than what I can add to it or say about it. So 1 Kings 17, preaching on the subject, can God meet my needs? And we'll begin in verse number 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. That's amazing that he told that woman who was near nothing, down to nothing. And I tell you, that takes faith to tell a woman who said, I'm down to my last meal. And you say, well, okay, good. Bring me that meal first. That's hard to do. That's not just natural conversation. And so he says it, and then the Bible goes on to say, if I can find the verse, oh, a little cake first and bring it to me after, make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day of the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now, if you didn't think it took faith to ask her for her first, for her last meal, it definitely took faith to say, by the way, that barrel ain't going to run dry, and you're going to have food to eat until it rains. That's faith. And I'm mentioning that for a reason. That's what we're going to be looking at tonight. So she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode. and laid him upon his own bed, and he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. His mama delivered him, but then Elijah, after he was born again, I guess, he was dead and now he's living, and delivered this boy to his mother. And so we preached on the subject, can God meet my need? And we looked, first of all, at the many sides of our need. And boy, they come from many directions. And your need may not be mine, and mine probably ain't yours, but the truth of it is we all have them. If I was asked for a showing of hands this evening, if you have something in your life that you need God to intervene and to deliver, if you are serious-minded at all, you'd raise your hand. Because, and I'll say this, whether you know it or not, you've got needs. There's a lost world of people out there that has no idea the need that they have. Their Bible says that they're groping in darkness. They can't see. They've been blinded by the god of this world, and they have no idea they have a need. But all we that have had the light shined into our lives and been enlightened, and God has flipped the switch, and now we know. Boy, I'm telling you, I had no idea until God showed me what need I had. A need of redemption, a need for the blood of Jesus to be applied to me, to cover me, to atone and to forgive me. If you saved, you had that same need, but you didn't know it. At one point you thought being a good person was good enough, and maybe being a part of a church and being baptized and doing good. Maybe reading your Bible and praying and giving was enough until God said, no, that ain't enough. That's religion. And you need a relationship with my son to have that need met. Yeah, so that's the greatest need, but then family needs, and we don't go back and deal with all that. A bunch of different needs, and we all have them, right? And then I was going to look at not only the many sides of our needs, but the manifest supply of God when it comes to our needs. Boy, as many needs as we got a God who's big enough that can supply them all. You can't come at God with an angle or with a need that he can't meet. But I'm going to skip that one this evening and go to the last part because it sort of gets to where we are. And you say, well, I got this need, and I know God can meet it, and I believe God met it. How many of you believe the Bible? Don't be bashful. I believe it wholeheartedly. I believe that there was a boy in this chapter, the widow woman. I really believe that barrel produced meal after meal. I don't believe that's a parable. I don't believe that's hyperbole. I believe that actually happened. I believe her son didn't get sleepy and lay down. I don't think he got sick and just took a nap. I believe he died. I believe his soul left his body. And I believe Elijah prayed over him, and God restored his soul back into his body and made him live again. You say, surely I do believe that. Why? Because the Bible said so. I believe it. I believe it. I believe the Bible. And if I believe the Bible and you believe the Bible, then we know that there's a God in heaven who can supply our needs. Say, I believe that. And I know I got a need. So what am I missing? Thirdly, and what we're going to deal with tonight, the marvelous secret for getting your need met. How do I get it? How do I connect me, the one who has the need, to God who can meet the need. How do I make them to touch? It's faith. In a nutshell, in a one-word nutshell, faith is how that happens. How did you get, Stephen, you had a need to have your sin forgiven. You had a need to get out of the category headed for hell and get into the category headed to heaven. What changed that? Faith. And I ain't talking about a general faith like the news will say, they're people of faith. No, no, no. They are people of faith, but it ain't. This word, Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. We're saved by grace through faith. Amen. And so faith absolutely moves the hand and heart of God. And if you want to have a need, and I have a need, and we need it met, we're going to have to do more than just say, well, I know we can, and get past. He did it for Elijah, and the Bible says he no respecter of person. And so if he did it for Elijah, and he did it for Abraham, and he did it for Moses, and he did it for Pawpaw and Mama and Mom and Daddy, he'll do it for me. And it ain't just I believe he can, it's that I believe he will. And I put my faith and activate my faith. And so let's look at the marvelous secret for getting my need met. The secret can be summed up in one word. As we said, faith. This faith must manifest itself in four areas of our life. Number one, there must be faith in the will of God. That's a big one. Do you know, most of the time, our will and God's will are contrary to each other. That's right. Listen to verse 3. The Bible said, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Elijah had just confronted the king of Israel, and God is now sending him into the wilderness. Elijah was standing with kings and confronting kings, and you would think he would be the next huge speaker, and he would be moving on to preaching revival after revival and moving and traveling the world. I mean, he just confronted Ahab. And God says, go to the wilderness. Isolate yourself. Don't talk to nobody. Just go out in the woods and shut up. That's what it said. Well, it didn't say that, but that's what it meant. It had to be a little bit confusing to Elijah. I mean, to go from there to there, it had to be a head scratcher. And I'm going to be honest with you, there's been seasons of my life, Brother Ned, that I went from, preaching to big crowds and big responses and dozens getting saved and think, man, it's picking up, boy, and things are good, and to no phone calls. Seems like every preacher in the country's forgot your name. I ain't even heard, come to think, my mom ain't even called me this week. I mean, has everybody forgot me? Just down seasons, but that's life. And a lot of times God will send us from those high peaks to meadows down below all along, so we don't get so full of pride and think, ooh, I am all that. It'd have been easy for Elijah to say, I just set Ahab in his place. And God sent me to the king, and I told him what for, and look at me. No, God said, okay, now that I've used you in big places and in big ways, now go down there and do things that nobody will see. And trust my will. I'm sure Elijah had bigger plans and better plans, but God seemingly was demoting him in his mind, but he wasn't. God was actually elevating him. He just was sending him around the corner in his will. And as we go on in this, you'll see it didn't really make sense. I mean, all the way from leaving Ahab to going to the wilderness to God saying, go to this brook and I'm going to feed you, and I'm going to send ravens to bring food to you, and I'm going to give you to drink from that brook, and you make your livelihood around that brook. and then the brook dries up. It's like, God, you told me to come here. He did. And they will be brooks that dry up in your life. Look for them. And I want you to listen to me very closely. I was preaching in this chapter 10 years ago or more down in Georgia. And I made a statement about the brooks in your life drying up and how you need to be sensitive to that. Because God does let brooks dry up. And sometimes it could even be at your church. Sometimes it can be in a Sunday school class. And I said that statement. And I had a family come up to me after service. Well, it wasn't the whole family, but it was a husband. And he said, yeah, preacher, the Lord spoke to me through that preaching tonight. And I said, well, praise the Lord. He said, I believe the brook's dried up here. It's time for me to move my letter. I said, I don't believe that's what I was aiming for. You know what I told him? I said, you better pray long and hard, because ultimately it ain't my decision where you go to church. And if it ain't God's will for you to be here, bye. Amen. I'm sincere about that. Amen. I ain't begging people to come to church. I'll invite you, but I ain't begging you. Amen. And if it ain't God's will, I don't want you, because you're going to cause me and everybody else more trouble than you worth. I said it right. I said, but you better pray about it, because if you move, you take your wife and your children and get out of God's will, not only are you going to pay for it, but your wife and your kids are going to pay for it dearly. He said, I better go pray about that. I said, you better. He come back to me and said, preacher, the brook's still flowing good, still flowing good. It ain't dried up here. I said, good. The devil will hijack even the preaching and puts things in your mind. I had a conversation with somebody, and I can't tell you who or what it's about, before church, and was talking about something and then somebody. Ain't that good to know you preacher was talking about people before church. It wasn't gossiping. It was burden. And I said, the statement was made, they'll never make it. Their marriage won't survive if they don't get in church. That's a true statement. Not just for them, but for all of us. Saved people ain't going to make it. Your marriage won't last. You're going to lose your children. Not just out of church, but out of God's will. It matters that you're in God's will. You say, why'd you mention church? Because church is in God's will. It absolutely is. Amen. So, number one, there must be faith in God's will. Number two, there must be faith in God's ways. You say, well, ain't his ways his will? Well, look at verse 9. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Imagine how Elijah felt. This brook dried up, and the ravens quit bringing food. And God comes along and says, not only have I removed you from the king's palace and sent you down by the meadow to a brook, now I've dried your brook up. And I want you to go. And I had to feel demoralizing. I was just in the king's palace. Now I'm all alone by a brook. Now God wants me to go let a woman take care of me. Not just a woman, but a widow woman. And he wants me to ask her for her last meal. That would not be in my idea, in my plans of God's will. It'd be a stretch. I'd have to do some serious praying to feel like I was going to go to some stranger It was down to their last of everything. I said, I believe it's God's will for you to give me that. But can I say this? Don't miss this if you don't leave with nothing tonight. And I'm serious. Listen. Matter of fact, I ain't thought about this till just now. The Lord spoke it to my heart. Do you know how bad it would have been for that widow? Oh, goodness. Do you know how bad it would have been if Elijah had said, Brother Jackie, if he had said, I don't think I'm going to do that. That wouldn't be good for her, for me, the preacher, to take her last meal. That's awful of me. I better not do that. Don't seem like God's way, Brother Jeff, for the preacher to take the widow's last meal. Guess what would have happened had he not? Should have died. Should have eaten that meal and died. And her boy. And there wouldn't have been no resurrection. God's will and God's way is always best, even when it don't feel right. Even when you think, I should be the one giving to you. I should be the one helping you. I should be the one praying for you. If God wills it and it's God's way, you better go with it. Or not only are you going to rob yourself, but you're going to rob them of a blessing and of a life. That's so true. Lord, help us with that. So he's got to be feeling like, my goodness, here I am, left the king's palace, and now I'm down here, and I got a widow keeping me up. That's pretty demoralizing. But it was God's way for his life, and it saved him and them. It truly is, God's ways are above ours. His understanding so superior to ours. He knows what he's doing. And so we got to learn his will and learn his way and have faith in it. Widows were poor. They weren't known for putting on the dog and having a lot. But Elijah knew that God knew more about taking care of prophets than he did. And so he just went. He just said, Lord, if this is your will and this is your way, I ain't going to try to figure it out. I ain't going to try to make sense of it. I'm just going to believe it, and I'm just going to do it by faith. I'd say that was the best thing he could have done. Wouldn't you? We're so good at rationalizing, trying to figure it out. I'm terrible at that. I like to know not just how something's going, but why is it going that way? I want to know. But you can't figure God out. You're doing good if you know his will. Like, this is his will. Praise the Lord, I know his will. I remember being a teenager before I was married and knew God's will for my wife and my life. I remember this thing of God's will being some mysterious thing. Like, oh, just pray for God's will for my life. I'd figure out God's will for my life. That was like every prayer meeting. I'd ask, pray for God, reveal his will to me. You know what I found out? God's will ain't some big mysterious question mark up in the sky. God's will is his word. Did God not tell Elijah, go? Did God not tell Elijah? It said the word of the Lord told him to tell that widow woman that. You know what God's will is for you? His word. Quit trying to figure it out and just go find out what he said. Amen. The answers are there. Yeah. You'll learn more about God's will? Get in his word. You'll know more about his ways? Get in his word. That's how you learn him. That's how you learn his ways. If you try to sit around and figure God out, you will go crazy. You can't figure him out. You can't understand God. He's that much more infinite than you. He's way bigger than we are. And by the way, if you was God, you could fix your own problems, but you ain't, so quit trying. That's right. We must have faith in the great truth that God knows what He's doing, and we must learn to trust God's way. Listen to Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So there must be faith in God's will. There must be faith in God's ways. And there must be faith in God's work. Verses 13 through 16. Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day of the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. So we've got to have faith in the work of God. Put yourself in this widow's place. She's at the point of starvation, and her son have had enough food left for a final meal, and then they plan to lay down and die. Then here comes the preacher saying, Give me. He tells her, Feed me first. Boy, you're talking about a trial of faith. I talked about Elijah's faith, but this widow had to have faith to give her last penny, her last little bit. That's faith. But she put faith in the work of God. She said, Here's a preacher. I know that he's a man of God. Listen, it wasn't lost on her that he was a preacher. She called him the man of God. She understood. He's in the work of God. He's doing the business of God. And she didn't know him. She didn't have an intimate relationship with him. She just said, He's in the work of God. And he said, This is what's right. So I'm gonna put my faith in it. And she did. And it saved her life. Now, had the preacher been wrong, and in those days, if the preacher was wrong when he said, This is God's will, and this is God's way, and this is the work of God, and he'd been wrong, they could stone him. Thank the Lord. The law's been fulfilled. Y'all ain't come to church tonight with stones. And I don't think I've got nothing wrong tonight, but I have many times in my preaching and in my life, and I'm grateful I don't get stoned when I'm wrong. But he could have. But he wasn't wrong. He was in the work of God. This was the work of God. God was at work about to save a widow woman and her boy and his prophet. Listen, I don't understand all the will of God. I don't claim to. I don't understand all the ways of God. Matter of fact, His ways are amazing. How God does things is beyond my mind. I mean, really, just look back in your life and look at the ways of God and how His way has led you this far. It's amazing. I wouldn't have chose most of them. Guarantee you that. I couldn't have figured all this out. If 20 years ago I was to take a pen and pad and somehow arrive here, no way. No way. With all the turns and all the... No way. But God's ways are unreal. Yes. And they're awesome. Amen. And you ought to get in on it. Say, well, I just wasn't done it that way. Well, you ain't God. And we ain't trying to do it your way. We ain't trying to do it my way. But we all should try to do it God's way. Because listen, Brother Ned, this ain't my church. And this ain't yours. Yeah. Now, I belong to it, but it don't belong to me.
That's it.
Some people need to get that through their thick, I start to say skull, but they need to get through their thick heart. This church don't belong to me, but it don't belong to you. It don't belong to you. It don't belong to you. It don't belong to us. We belong to it. This is the Lord's. It's His work. Matter of fact, it's His greatest work. The church is, that's what Jesus died for. The church. Amen. It's His greatest work. And boy, we get to be a part of it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So, we've got to have faith in it. Verse 13, she was told to go and do. Go, get me some meal and do it. Go, fix me. And you know what verse 15 said? She went and did it. She was told to go and do. She enacted her faith. She went and did it. It ain't just enough to get told to do things. You got to put it in practice. Put in shoe leather. Get involved in the will of God. Start putting your faith in the will of God, in the ways of God, and in the work of God. God will come through for you, and your need will get met. Guaranteed. If you have submitted your life to the Lord and are faithfully engaged in carrying out His will in this world, you are on the Lord's payroll. And you are God's responsibility. He will take care of you. If you are involved in His work, He will meet your need. Period. That ain't just what I read in the Bible, though it's there. I've lived it. I've experienced it. Firsthand, I could tell you the tales and I take you to the place and show you where God put groceries on my steps when our cabinets were bare. When God give me a vehicle, when God give me paid my bills, God has been so faithful to me when I didn't have it because I was involved in His work. He took care of me, and He will meet your need every time, every time. You say, well, I've got a need right now and ain't met. Be patient, because God don't work on your clock. You work on His. Be patient, be still, and wait on the Lord. But God ain't going to do you wrong. Have faith in Him, His will, His way, and His work, and He will take care of you. In His time, I promise you, He won't leave you hanging. Never. I'm closing with this. Too often we forget to whom we belong. We are the Lord's. Amen. We belong to Him. Yeah. Listen, if you say 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. Amen. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on it. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Yeah, He'll clothe you. Yeah, He'll feed you. Yes, He'll house you. Yes, He will meet your need. For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all things. All these things. God knows your specific need. And here's the key verse that we all quote, but right there in this context. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Your clothes, your raiment, your food, your fill in the blank, your need If we will put in faith, seek him first and his righteousness, I promise you, he'll give you your needs. If he don't, he's a liar, and he ain't. Finally, in the minute I got left, there must be faith in the word. Verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth the rain upon the earth. And he said, the Lord saith, over and over, this widow woman entered this valley of testing with the greatest promise ever to be given to anyone. Did you see it? Don't miss it. Verse 14, the prophet gives her the promise in the form of a seven-word statement. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. When you have God's word on an issue, that issue is settled forever. Period. If he said, listen, if God said it, y'all remember that bumper sticker? Said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Sound pretty good, don't it? I used to say, man, that's good. But it ain't good, and it ain't right. God said it, and whether I believe it or not, it's settled. It'd do you good to believe it. You want your needs met? Put faith in the Word of God. Put faith in the will of God, the work of God, and the ways of God. And God will meet your need. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, have your will and have your way, Lord. We love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us, God. I want to say thank you for your ways. God, your ways are so much better than mine. Oh, God, I'd have messed it up a long, long time ago, and I thank you for your ways and your will. Lord, I thank you for your will. I'd have never dreamed. I remember sitting in high school, Lord, and skimming through a book and just playing any, many, mighty, mo of what I'd be and what I'd do in life. And oh God, as bad as I missed it and got it wrong, Lord, I thank you for having a correcting hand and, oh God, putting me back into your will. Lord, thank you for being gracious. Thank you for meeting all of our needs in your time according to your will. We thank you, Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.